Got new shoes. Mm-hmm. That was my exciting thing. I actually walked into a store and got new shoes.
Oh, interesting. Man.
The employee had a mask on. I had a mask on, and they had this little like thing that you stand on, so it like measures your feet because it was running shoes, and so it's like measuring my feet to see like what kind of shoe you need for your arch and all everything like that.
We don't know anything about that. We don't about want running stores.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's a lot of stores I could go into right? over the next couple of months. I'd want to go into that one's pretty low yeah. on the bottom of the list.
Restaurants.
Meh. You should go check it out just to get your foot scanned. It's very hot.
Yeah.
Very fun.
I'll just go. Yeah, I would like my feet scanned. Yeah. I will not purchase one thing in the store. So we're clear.
You might need a pair of. There's nothing in there. You're gonna.
All right. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. Where we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
How's it going?
Excellent. How are y'all?
Good. Yeah.
Good. My son has started daycare
this week.
So,
started back to daycare.
Started back at daycare. We were in daycare, then we were out, and now we're back.
Did they kick you out for his behavioral issues as a 9-month-old?
Is that why they kicked you out? No, I mean, they are trying to get him to sleep on a nap mat.
Good luck.
I know your son also had to figure that out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Will went through that, yeah.
Uh-huh. We bought it. We laid him on it. He cried. And we're like, well, they'll figure it out at school.
I didn't even show my son his nap mat. Like, first day that he was supposed to have it, it just like went in with him into his classroom, and I said, "That's a you problem. You want him to sleep on this thing? Bucks. Good luck."
Yeah, so you know he's been adapting well.
Yeah, I'm sure he's doing
according
great.
According to the photos,
I'm sure he's doing fabulous. Mm-hmm. You know, he's 15 months old, right? Ish, 15, 16.
16 months.
16 months old. Yeah.
Yeah.
How badly could we possibly screw them up at this age, right? There's plenty of years for therapy later on, right?
So, I'm sure a child psychologist would say, pretty bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of margin for error.
Fair enough. I'm sure this is not going to be the thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is our first podcast of the month.
Yeah.
So that means we're continuing
new month.
Our pattern
September.
Of going through the Bible. So tonight,
hey, guys, we made it through another month of 2020.
We have. We're getting closer and closer. All
right. Come on.
I'm not even sure if that's encouraging at this point.
It's a better...
Like, whoa, another
4 months
gone.
To go.
Yeah.
And then
what?
Who knows? Maybe 2021 is like the greatest year of our lives, or it gets even worse.
The cherry on top of 2020.
Yes. I'm feeling flesh-eating fog in Times Square.
Flesh-eating fog. It's yikes.
Okay.
Sounds like a story idea right there.
Right.
Write it down. So we are continuing our series going through the Torah.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be going over...
We're going through the whole Bible.
No, well, we're starting with
the Torah. But the series is the whole Bible.
The series is the whole
Bible. Just want to be clear.
You know, we're starting small, okay? And then we will continue through the whole Bible.
That's true.
But now it's just the Torah.
All right, just the Torah.
So today,
Torah.
We're going to talk about Numbers.
Did anybody else, did you ever see the movie Torah?
That's a movie?
It is a movie. It's about the Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor. And I still, to this day, am not entirely sure why it's called Torah. I think that Torah means something in Japanese. And like it was like
it's
something
spelled different.
It is spelled different. It's like T-O-R-A instead of T-O-R-A. But
yeah.
Every time I saw it, I was like, oh, this must be a thing about Judaism. No. World War II, Pearl Harbor.
I am confused.
This is not what I expected.
I have a review
Ooh.
That I'm going to share with you guys.
Of what?
Of one of our podcasts. Not of Torah.
Just found it.
Of our podcast.
Okay.
Of when we went through Genesis.
Yeah. Hey, one of our Torah series podcasts.
Our original. Our Genesis.
The OG. Yes. Yeah.
Genesis
starts with G. The OG.
One of our college students here at Lord of Life.
Oh, okay.
Kristen.
Yeah. I know Kristen.
Me too. Hi,
Kristen's
Kristen.
Great.
Hey, yeah. Kristen.
Shout out to Kristen.
She said, I listened to your podcast episode on Genesis. Absolutely loved it. Loved is in all caps. Was laughing throughout the whole podcast, and y'all put it in a way that was really easy to understand and get something out of. Can't wait to listen to more.
Fantastic.
Well, here's more, Kristen.
Thank you, Kristen.
Heartwarming.
Yeah. Your wish is our command.
Yeah. Yeah, Elise was not part of pod at that point.
I will pretend that she meant me as well.
You can bask in the residual glory of that
I'm
particular
sure
review.
I'm sure she meant the Exodus one.
Absolutely. That's the
not
one she meant.
The Exodus one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe she has not when she listens to Exodus, maybe I'll get a new text.
Well, sure, right. Like, even in the Exodus one, I'm pretty sure I was like, oh no, I think it's about Moses. it's okay.
Yeah, I think somebody that's died probably, at some point, yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
What people right. might be thinking of numbers going into this right. too. I don't know.
Moses,
I
think it's yeah. about maybe? Moses
yes.
and numbers.
We're probably even less certain if Moses is yeah. a part of this one than we are.
Oh. I want to be a person who is like, every book of the Bible is equally valuable. But on numbers, I'm like, pass. Like,
no person is that person. That person does not exist. Right. I'm like, pretty sure even God is like, no. There are some better ones than other ones. Like,
yeah, like,
this is not all my best work, guys. No.
All right, we're going to get to that. But first, we're going to go through some news.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, we're getting, putting the cart before the horse.
Whoa.
You ever play
I'll
with,
put my horse wherever I want
did
to.
Did y'all play with Legos as a kid?
Yeah, yes. As a kid? What's, yes. Why we got to put this like...
I have them.
Yeah. How about your children? Have they played with Legos?
I'm yearning for the day when my child is old enough for me to have... regular Legos. We have like giant Duplo things.
Yeah, right? We have the big Legos. Yeah. He's not yeah. putting together. He kind of bangs them together.
Yeah. Sophia
build
now
with
is.
Them and he'll just push yeah. it over.
Sophia's now building them. So that's fun. But I'm like, I want real Legos.
Yeah. yeah. We've graduated real Legos. Okay, well, Ray could not care less about them.
Oh, that's so
yeah,
sad.
We buy them.
I mean, eventually. But great for you guys. Yeah.
I mean, so we have Legos.
All right. Well, I got a story here about Samir Anwar from New Zealand.
All right.
A Lego hand comes out of a boy's nose after 2 years.
A Lego hand?
Yes.
Like ooh. A little claw.
A little claw. A little
yikes.
Hand.
Okay.
So when Samir was playing with Legos in 2018, he put it up his nostril.
Sure. I mean, it was bound to happen.
Dad shined a flashlight up the nostril, uh-huh. but he couldn't see it.
Yep.
And so he thought, it's probably not in there. Yeah. It probably came out.
The doctor's not yeah. necessary.
Yes. Fine. Yeah.
Could not see it.
How bad can I screw this kid up?
Right. And don't tell your mother.
Right. 2 years later, he was eating a muffin. I felt he had to sneeze. Sneezed into a tissue. And there was a Lego hand.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How did this thing not get, like, infected or, like, hurt or...
I'm sure it probably hurt, yeah. right?
But this kid like just didn't say anything. This is a tough kid.
So I mean, in theory, your nasal cavity is much bigger than you think it is.
Sure. So it was just like if he was like shaking his head, would it just yeah. be like rattling around?
Yeah. Also, his parents were probably like, "He's just teething."
Give That's right.
It's fine.
Yeah, it still looked like a hand. Everything was fine. They do recommend here.
I love that the concern is that the Lego piece still right, looked like a hand. Forms. Right. It still yeah. it still looked fine. His nasal cavity also looked like a hand.
Guys, if your child does put something up your nose, you want to take it to, you know, a minor injuries unit and not try to get it out yourself.
Mm.
Take the child, not the object.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Here's some Legos. What do you think about this? Yes. Because
my child put one of these up his nose. What should I do with this?
Push it up further. So let me ask, have your kids shoved anything up their noses?
No, not at this point. Not
or
gone.
To your knowledge.
Knock on my desk. Oh. Yeah.
To the
I know. Into the microphone. That's how emphatic I was about clarifying that I didn't want this to happen.
All right. Yeah. To your knowledge, nothing's up your kid's nose.
Yeah. To my knowledge. I mean, nothing that's not supposed to be up my child's nose.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the closest we've ever come, which is not that close, is that Grace swallowed her first tooth that she lost.
Okay.
Nice.
So, like, a foreign object.
Yeah.
But
she swallowed it, took it out and stuffed it back up the nose.
To my knowledge, right. yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
To my knowledge. Yeah.
Anybody's guess.
Right.
Timmy, nothing up the nose. Lego pieces are small, though.
Yeah.
And some of them are very tiny.
That's why you're not supposed to, that's why there's like 10 and up is on the box or whatever. Right. I mean, there's an age limit on that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't say how old Samir is when he put this up his nose. It does not have that in the thing. But he does not look like a baby.
I mean, no, that is not a small child. I mean, that's, he's been in there for 2 years. He was yeah, 2 years younger in that picture.
2 years younger, yeah. So he looks like, this may be a temptation for kids to shove things into sure. their nasal cavity.
You know, did you all ever shove anything in your nose?
I think I did a Flintstones chewable up there when I was a kid.
Nice. Yes. Yeah.
Like a hiding spot. You don't have to take it.
I'm not sure what the appeal you. Is. You know, like, here's a cavity. Just shove something in
right.
there. You know,
yeah.
like.
I think Freud has some, yeah, thoughts on, like, just
for your
us
nose,
and.
Though?
But it's like yeah. us and, like, face and everything that you're trying to figure out. I don't know. It's. Yeah. I don't know. Freud was kind of full of it. So who knows? That's. Yeah.
So I also, to me, has not played with Lego yet, but I'm also looking forward to the day when he can start
oh, yeah.
Lego.
For sure.
Thing. Yeah. My goal is I want to buy the, like, 1,000-piece or 10,000-piece, whatever it is, Millennium Falcon,
oh, okay.
And put that together with him.
With, yeah, uh-huh.
yeah
I want to put it together with Timmy, uh-huh, sure.
I mean, by with him, it'll be like when you're a kid and you, like, help your dad with, like, do car maintenance. Like,
uh-huh.
he hold the flashlight while uh-huh. I do all the work.
While you do the curse words. Kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, he'll be shoving things in his nose while I'm, like, putting it together.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
But that's kind of what it, but I'm excited to do that. And it'll hang in his room.
Sure.
I mean, I'll build it.
Because Kat won't let it hang behind the bed.
My wife will let me put it on because
it has already been banned.
It is kind of the goal of like, oh, my kid's theme room is space, so I need like, oh, he needs a Star Wars thing.
Sure.
He needs a Death Star, room. Obviously.
He needs it for his room.
Yeah. A 10,000-piece Death Star is definitely what your child needs.
They cost a lot. It's like $500.
Yeah, it's like 10,000 pieces of Lego. Yeah.
Save up for it.
Yeah, but he needs it.
Use his birthday money. He'll be fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a great birthday and Christmas gift. I think he would
birthday and Christmas for the next couple of years. It's only like two teeth if at least his tooth fairy is coming up.
I know. I'm going to be sending Timmy's teeth to your parents.
Mail them.
Your parents are going to get some teeth in the mail with an invoice. With my Venmo number account on there.
Speaking of ways that serial killers start, gracious. All right.
Call back to a previous episode.
Yeah. Do we have something serious to talk about, or is it all just Legos and Tooth Fairies?
Numbers.
Oh, Numbers. 42. Okay,
so Numbers is the fourth
23?
Book. Fourth book of the Bible.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and I have an analogy here that I'm going to use to understand the Torah. Star Wars now.
Torah.
Okay.
So speaking of Star Wars, we're back right into it.
There you go.
We can't get away.
Look at that segue.
Yes. Yeah. We're being pulled into the Death Star.
Right. We had a tractor beam. Yep, there it is.
Uh-huh. So this is my analogy. So Genesis is going to be a lot like Star Wars A New Hope. All right. This is my analogy.
Right.
One-to-one. Genesis is like that. It sets It sets everything up from the rest of the whole story, introduces major themes that the Bible is going to take and run with of redemption, of the Force in Star Wars, of faith in Genesis. Those are major themes. Also, like, if you went back and watched A New Hope, and if you went back and read Genesis, you're like, the beginning is a lot slower than I remembered.
Sure. Yeah.
It takes a while
to get into it. Yeah.
So that's why Genesis is like A New Hope. Exodus will be like Empire Strikes Back. It takes the themes of Genesis and expands upon them. And I would say,
and the whole second half is kind of like, why am I reading this?
As a reader, I think the Genesis Exodus 1 to 20 is probably narratively the best 1 to 20 story-wise in the Bible.
Sure.
Now, Jesus is great, but like...
Jesus is great.
Thanks for clarifying that.
But I think as a continuous story, if you're reading it just keeps building and building and building.
As a narrative story,
yes.
If we're looking at literary form...
It's the best
Exodus
story.
Exodus 1 to 20 is a great story. Yeah.
That's probably why most...
Not saying it's more important than Jesus.
No. Out of every movie that's familiar with the Bible, that piece has been used the most.
It is naturally told in a great story format.
Yeah.
In the same way, Empire Strikes Back, out of all the Star Wars movies, is the best story. It is the best narratively how it
works.
I disagree.
We're not getting into that.
Yeah.
I think Empire Strikes Back is generally considered the best Star Wars
by Patrick.
Generally.
By me.
By one-third of the people in this room.
Right.
I'm right. All right, so then you get to Leviticus.
Leviticus.
And Leviticus is not Empire, or not Return of the Jedi.
Is Leviticus like...
is when you pop in the bonus features of the DVD. And it's not even about like any of the actors or anything. It's like, here's how the cameras work. You know, that's like real technical, not necessarily not interesting, but not for everybody.
Right.
A very, very specific crowd is going to walk away being like, oh, I really, really like that.
And don't try to read too much into it.
But if you're like, not for me, fair enough. All right, then we get to Numbers. Okay, so Numbers, I'm also going to say, is not like Return of the Jedi. I'm going to say...
Where are we going here?
Falling apart.
Numbers for me.
What's going to be Return of the Jedi? Deuteronomy?
I don't know. No. We're not getting. There's no Return of the Jedi in the Torah.
All right.
Numbers is going to be like watching The Mandalorian.
Oh.
Which is like 2,000 years later, and
no. So Numbers is kind of one. It's set in the desert.
Uh huh.
And two, it's very like.
Wow.
It really is very episodic. If like one chapter says like, here's this adventure that Moses and the Israelites go to the desert, and then here's the next adventure that Moses and the Israelites go in the desert, and there's the next adventure that Moses and the Israelites go to the desert.
But it's much more connected to the storyline of Empire Strikes Back than Mandalorian would be.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's in the same universe. I'm just saying, like, Moses... I'm not saying it's a perfect analogy.
Yeah. We've stretched it out there.
And then Deuteronomy, we get there. That's like watching Empire Strikes Back, but with the commentary on. So
that's Deuteronomy. I like that. We'll get to that next month. Yeah, that's fun.
So when it's like the exact same story, but like, you know, a little different perspective.
Right.
So Numbers is... ultimately, I was like, it's a road trip story.
Yeah, it is. Road tripping.
So, So it's like Mandalorian. It's a road trip. You know, Mandalorian and Yoda. It's a bit of a road trip. Baby Yoda.
Mandalorian is Babysitter's Club. Okay, it's not a road trip story.
So right off the bat, how do you guys feel about road trips?
I was thought you were going to ask me about The Mandalorian.
No.
I love road trips.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm more of a fan of road trips without small children. Is that inappropriate?
Who is a fan of road trips with small children?
Yeah, they really... Yeah. Takes the fun out of it.
I'm a road trip fan too. I like road trips. I like driving. You know, seeing the open road is nice. All those things. I get to do a lot of trip planning as part of my job for youth groups, and I love it. It's part of my spiritual gift is planning trips. I really enjoy it. So numbers.
Does Paul list those in the
Caribbean? I think so.
Preachers, apostles, road trippers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So Numbers is a bit of a road trip movie. A road trip book.
Could be a road trip movie. We could make this.
It has
really trying to hype Numbers.
I like Numbers.
It's great.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say off the bat, I enjoyed reviewing Numbers. Yeah. I didn't read all 38 or so chapters for this, but I flipped through it. I watched videos on it. I enjoyed what's happening. So there are three main settings. So it starts off in Sinai. We left Moses and the Israelites in Exodus in Sinai. Numbers picks up right back there.
So if the yellow text is strolling up at the beginning of the screen, we're getting the Moses and the Israelites find themselves leaving the wilderness of Sinai as...
And I will say this.
I don't know. Something else happens. Yeah.
I'm going to say this about Numbers. It starts pretty dry.
Yeah.
It's a census, right?
It is. Yeah.
Yes. Because when you think of
how
Numbers...
How many people are there?
I bet probably you're thinking of like, it's probably a long list of names, a lot of things happening.
Some numbers in there.
Which is how it starts. Which is why it's called the Book of Numbers. Because historically in Judaism, you named the book by the first word that appears in the book. So... Number like Leviticus is the word for law, and it starts as law in Hebrew is the first word of Leviticus, and Deuteronomy is a similar process. And Numbers, the first word is something about census or number or something, like that. And so Numbers became the title.
That's a lot of pressure to have a good opening sentence.
You really good opening word, really. I mean,
Right. As a writer, I'm sure you got to catch them right away.
I'm like breaking out in a sweat thinking about that.
Right? Yeah. There you go.
Well, I mean, look, the author of Numbers started off with a census, so you can't go wrong. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, a better title for Numbers might be like.
Road trip,
or journey through the wilderness, right? Yeah. Or, you know, some like there's lots of ways that would probably get us more engaged in the story of Numbers than the title Numbers.
Yeah.
But that's not what we got.
So we're going to start off in Sinai, and then that's all going to be a lot of organization, a lot of...
You stand over here, you stand over there.
Yes. How the camp
God stays
is
in the middle.
To look,
yep.
How it's going to look like when we kind of travel to the promised land.
Who gets what seat? Who has to sit in the middle with their feet on the hump? Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. Who gets shotgun?
Yep.
What your roles are when you have shotgun?
Yeah. There is a permanent shotgun call.
The
Levites
have shotgun, and their role is to be close to God. And kind of things like that, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Make sure everybody else knows the rules of the car so that God can focus on being God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, God is like MapQuest and Moses is the driver, so you know, like...
Really stretching this one out. All right, I like it.
So the beginning is kind of dry. It is kind of that, like, let's review the trip, here are all the things that are going to happen.
Yep.
And then we start the road trip. So there's three settings. We get to kind of three main areas. So Sinai, Paran, and Moab. Those will be the three main settings. And in between those things, we have a bit of a journey, a road trip there. And it's supposed to take about 2 weeks to get from Sinai to the Promised Land. And it's going to take them 40 years.
Whoa.
So their road trip.
Somebody didn't listen to MapQuest.
Right. Their road trip is going to have a few detours.
Yes.
They're going to have a few detours, a few flat tires along the way. That's going to happen. So we're going to start here. Out of this first road trip part.
Okay.
So, in the road trip, this is where we're going to first have the dissension amongst the ranks.
The grumblings.
The grumblings are going to start
happening.
Why
are you taking us out of Egypt?
So, everybody listening to what the road trip's going to look like, they're like, okay, that sounds good. Here's my tent. I know where I'm going to stay. All this, I got it. And then they start walking, and they're like,
this is terrible.
Yeah. Immediately, they're going to start arguing about... Who packed the right snacks for the road trip?
Who put, I don't know, what's the worst road trip snack? Who put granola?
No, I can get down with some granola.
Let me ask you, what is your road trip snack of choice?
Doritos.
Doritos, okay.
Hands down.
Do you have a road trip snack?
Starbucks.
Starbucks. Yeah.
It's not a snack.
Listen. It can be. Do whatever I want it to be.
Whenever I drive the van for youth trips, I like to get Funyuns because they smell disgusting.
Why would you do that?
Because it's awesome to watch them complain in the back because I'm just driving and laughing.
It's that McDad energy.
Yes, it really is. So, like, a power move. Like, yeah. I'm going to make you all miserable.
Yep.
In your face. I like sour candies, white chocolates, chips.
Sure,
those
sure.
are all my
white
road
chocolates.
Trips.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All my road trip snacks. That's what I would do. So, but they're going to argue right away about the road trip snacks because their road trip snack is manna.
Yep.
So that is every morning.
Literally straight from heaven, but okay.
Right. Their road trip snack is manna because they've already complained right. about not having enough to eat. Right. Like, yes. That happened back in Exodus. So yes. They already did this once.
So Moses has loaded up the car and he's like, I packed the snacks.
Right.
And they're like, oh, Dad.
Can we get anything else?
Right. What is this? Ham sandwich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a McDonald's. Can we pull over? Right. It's basically what the yep. kids are in the back are saying yep. constantly. They're complaining about the snacks. And they want meat.
Yeah.
Like, let's go back to Egypt because they had meat and leeks.
Yeah.
Crying about leeks. Have you ever been like, you know what I really, really need in my life? More leeks.
Yeah, man.
Never.
I'll take the whipping for the leeks. I mean, it's whatever.
And we're talking about the vegetable leek.
Yeah.
Not like it's not,
not like something better.
Well, if there's a leak in your bathtub,
oh, right?
That.
Sure. That's not what yeah. we don't want that. Leak. Yeah.
I do like to pull whenever we do buy leeks to like leave one in like our laundry room and
there's
be like,
a leak in the laundry.
Kat, there's a leak in the laundry room. We're going there. And so, oh my gosh, you're an idiot. So, like.
The dad force is strong with this one.
Yeah.
Yes.
That does sound
yeah.
That's what they want. They're going to go back to the leak. So, God sends quail.
Yeah.
And
quail's good
which
meat.
Is great. Yeah.
Great meat. Yeah.
Have you all had quail?
I have.
Yeah. It's
very
good.
Tender, very yeah. good. Very good.
Small.
Yeah. I think
you
I had
like a whole one yourself.
I
like
think
personal
I,
sized chicken. It's
I think
great.
I ate quail when I went to like the thing where you watch like knights joust. You
oh,
know?
The Renaissance Festival?
Not
oh,
the
yeah.
Renaissance Festival, like a show. It's
yeah,
like
medieval times.
Medieval times, yes. And they give you Pepsi and quail, and you have to eat with your hands.
And
you
have like a knight.
Pepsi and quail. That's authentic, yeah.
And you cheer for them, yeah. So
this
I,
is
yeah.
like a.
It's like a Myrtle Beach extravaganza. Like.
Oh, cool.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. So they're arguing about quail.
Uh-huh.
And so God's like, great, here's some quail. And they're like, great, this is awesome. And God's like, ah, here's the catch. You want this quail, you're going to eat it, and you're going to continue to eat it until it comes out your nose and you hate it.
Right. Metaphorically comes out your nose.
Or maybe not.
Well, there's no evidence that it actually came out their nose.
No evidence it did.
Fair enough.
So maybe it's a metaphor, maybe it's not. I yeah. do think I do
hating
like
it is the emphasis.
Yeah.
Like you're gonna you want this thing, uh-huh. I'm gonna give it to you until you realize that it's not what you actually wanted.
Oh, it really is. It's like, oh, you're crying in the back seat and uh-huh. you wanted McDonald's. Guess
here's
what?
The entire menu.
Yeah,
you eat it.
You're eating all of it.
Yes, right.
Until you just stop complaining.
Right. Yeah. Also, speaking of ways to screw up your kids, that's
yeah.
Road
yeah.
trip horror stories yes. right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a bold move. I love this story. I think it's amazing. This is my first part of a numbers.
Remind
of
me not to get in Patrick's van
I
on
know.
Our next mission
yeah,
trip.
This is my first part of numbers.
The
of
Funyuns.
Like, yeah. I'm in. I love it. Well, I mean, the parallels of like, hey, a little bit of one, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
And two, the when you are not cognizant of the blessings of God, and always, always wanting more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to maybe get that and you'll be less satisfied than you were before.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I think that this is teaching us a lot. So I think this part of the road trip story I think is really, really fun, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miriam and Aaron are going
to
complain.
They are Moses' siblings.
Moses' yeah. brother and sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to complain. They're going to kind of lead the rebel rousing. They're going to get punished. Miriam gets
right.
leprosy.
Oh.
Yeah, not very
cool. I missed that part.
Not very cool.
Yeah.
And then. And then that's kind of this section of the road trip.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of the highlights of what they're going on. And then they land in Paran.
Yeah.
So Paran is an area right outside the Promised Land. So they're there. They marched. This is the 2-week journey. They're there. They made it. They made it to, like, if you're watching, like, a National Lampoon's Vacation.
Sure.
They got to Wally World.
Yeah.
We're here.
In the parking lot.
We're in the parking
yeah.
lot. And it's closed.
Yeah.
Like, in the same way, it's a little. They have a little bit of a setback and disappointment. So
yeah.
they're going to send in 12 spies
mm-hmm.
into Paran.
One from each tribe.
One from each tribe. They're 12 spies.
Because equality.
Yes. Two we know by name, Joshua and Caleb. Two good spies, 10 bad spies.
Right. We don't know the 10 bad spies.
But they don't get names.
No.
Yeah.
The Bible's like, Forget those dudes.
Yeah, you don't want to remember that.
We don't need to worry about them.
Bad guys.
So they go in and spy, and they're looking around, and they come back, and they report. And Joshua and Caleb are like, the promised land is everything it was hyped to be.
Yeah. Mm. Doesn't it have, like, giant grapes? Isn't that one big of the grapes. Things that, like, it specifically mentions? Like, look at the size of these grapes.
Yeah, like, yeah, they take the road trip to Disney. They send one person in. They come out, and they're like,
the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids situation. Giant grapes.
It's awesome. Yeah. This is the greatest park.
It's fantastic. Look at this ice cream in the shape of a mouse. Look what I've got.
You are ready to get into Disney. We are ready. And the other 10 guys are like, guys, I hate to say this. The lines are crazy long.
Yeah.
Like,
it's super long.
Some of the rides make you go upside down.
Yeah, that ice cream cone cost $10.
Once upon a time, somebody got hurt doing something in the park.
So those 10 guys are like, hey, this is not good.
Yeah.
There's plenty of tribes in there.
They're all big, huge. They're going to kill us.
We're little.
God can't. I think they specifically say God can't. Overtake this for like God can't Oopsie. Win this over for us.
This is it. We're done.
Spoiler: God not a fan of being told what God can and cannot do.
Those are the people that had Quill. By the way,
I do want to highlight here. Elise, your husband once told me a road trip story he took to Disneyland.
Yes.
If you could, or Disney World, could you just kind of refresh this for us?
I would love to tell you that
story.
This
is really funny.
Does it have to do with Quill coming out of your nose?
Okay. No, but you'll appreciate it.
All right.
So when Michael, my husband, was little, his parents decided that they were going to take the family to Disney World.
Sure, as one does.
Mm-hmm. Michael's dad is not the type to do research. He's very old school, not comfortable around the computer or picking up the phone or anything like that. So they load up the family in the van and drive to Orlando, get there, get up to the gates of Disney World, and his dad says, this is too expensive. We're not going. Turns the car around, goes to Universal, and says, too expensive. Not going.
Okay.
Goes to SeaWorld, also too expensive. Not going. They end up at Bob's Marina.
Bob's Marina. Okay.
I've seen video footage of this, and it's like a metal tank with a dolphin inside of it and bleachers on the tank. And this guy just like with a headset, like throwing fish at the dolphin show. And that was their Disney World trip.
That's kind of what happens here.
I know, basically.
Yeah, it's similar. They get there. Yeah. The other guys came back. It's like too expensive. Like the original guy. Hey, they said it. We believe it.
Yep.
God ultimately
says, fine. You don't get to go into Disney World.
Yes.
You don't. You get to wander around Bob's Marina for the next 40 years.
I think this is also God's like, God says this a couple times in this journey. He's like, I'm done with you people.
Yeah.
I'm over this.
Yeah.
Moses, me and you, we're on our own road trip now.
Yeah.
We're done with them.
Yeah.
And Moses convinces God, you made a promise. If you abandon these people to just die, everyone will say, you're a bad God. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And so God's like, fine.
Yeah, so there's actually two things that I think are really helpful here. One, God keeps trying to go back to Moses saying, all right, Moses, basically I'm going to make you the new Abraham. You and I are going to start over, right? Yeah. I did this thing with Abraham. It didn't work out. The rest of Abraham's children, the rest of the tribes of Israel, forget all of them. You and me, we're going to do this the right way. But Moses keeps calling back, or God, back to God's original promise. Like God, sometimes it looks like Moses is like convincing God to change God's mind. Really, Moses is convincing God to remain faithful to what God has always been about. God has always been about revealing mercy to these people so that the world experiences the mercy of God. And Moses keeps calling him back to that, which is what is happening throughout Numbers.
Numbers is going to kind of end on that same note.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert. We keep going. So this is where they are. God says the first generation, the generation that left Egypt as slaves, is not going into the promised land.
You don't get to go to Disney World.
They're done. They can't go. Your children are going to get to go.
Yep.
So we're going to just stay outside and wait for you to die.
Yep.
And then your kids get to go.
We're going
to
walk around a little bit. We're not just going to make you stay in one place.
They're going to wander Paran for a while.
Uh-huh.
And so they're going to stay there and wandering. And then they're going to head out to a new part of the journey, to Moab. And so we get to a new road trip story. This is another journey that they're going to do. So they packed up the car again. They're going to say, oh, let's go check out Moab. Let's go to this other place. Levites are still in shotgun. Moses in the driver's seat.
Yep.
God is still the map quest guiding them
as
they go. People are still in the back whining and complaining.
Yep. Lo and behold.
Yep.
They did not learn their lesson.
Yeah. And at this point, Moses, as many parents on a road trip finally has it.
He loses it.
Moses loses his mind.
Yeah. So he is going to get to a place. The people are going to complain again that they're thirsty.
Yep.
God's going to say, here, there's going to be some water coming out of this rock. Moses goes over the rock and hits it with a stick.
Right.
Water comes out, and God says, not what I said.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And sorry, Moses, now you're not going to be allowed to the
right.
promise.
Because now Moses has cracked in the same way that all the people have cracked and mm-hmm. puts his own efforts of hitting the rock rather than yeah. just trusting God to bring the
now,
water out
of this. Now, this seems like a pretty minor infraction, right? Like, this is like, Moses hits a rock. What's that a big, is that a big deal? But God uses this to say, now you're no longer, you will not be fit to lead the next generation into the promised land.
Yeah.
So why do you think that is? Why is this, Pastor David, maybe you can give us some insight here. Why is this somewhat minor infraction the one thing that kind of keeps Moses out of the promised land?
Well, sure. I think there are two things that we can think about here. I think one is that we have talked about this off podcast. I can't remember if this came up on or not, but you know, when we think about salvation from a modern context, we're thinking about how am I being saved, right? How is God saving me and bringing me into heaven? Salvation from the context of the Old Testament is always about the nation of Israel being saved. And God's remaining faithful to that promise of restoring the nation of Israel and leading the nation of Israel into the promised land.
Yeah.
So for one person, or I mean, whenever they started this journey, somebody wasn't going to make it to the promised land, right? I mean, even if you went straight there, you've got 2 weeks on the road. People who are coming out of slavery have been malnourished, this, that, and the other. Somebody's probably going to die in the wilderness. Not everyone's going to make it.
And some people did.
And so, yeah. And now we've got an entire generation that's not going to make it because of these actions. And so God is looking to establish a nation that's going to live in accordance with this covenant promise that can carry forward that blessing to the world. And so it seems harsh, because we're looking at it from a perspective of, well, does this mean God stops loving Moses? It seems like that's the step that we're taking. God does not stop being faithful to Moses. God simply says there's a consequence to your action. Mm-hmm. And the consequence is you're not going to come into the promised land. You're still my chosen one to lead the people through this time, right? Moses is going to continue to lead the people through the rest of Numbers until he dies at the end of Deuteronomy. Moses is still going to have these conversations with God. He's still going to intercede on behalf of the people with God. But you're not going to be allowed to enter in here because there's a covenant that has to be upheld, and that's what we're going to establish.
I find that really interesting to think about maybe when that like narrative shift happens, because especially in light later on with like King David, who literally was a murderer and an adulterer,
sure.
and was still, you know, saw fit to lead.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But Moses hits a rock with a stick and doesn't make it into the promised land. So,
but
like,
it's still fit to lead,
there,
right?
Right, but where in there was that shift from like, this is Israel as a whole versus like a more individual. We're looking at this in a more like...
Yeah, so that shift really doesn't come in until Jesus in the New Testament and theology after that is really when it starts to shift to kind of this individual salvation. You know, I'm gonna know Jesus and Jesus is going to save me and bring me into eternal life. Mm-hmm. Jesus is really where that language starts to come in. Even with David, I mean, you get some of the language in the Psalms of like, restore me from my enemies and that sort of thing. But even with David, the notion is always God is going to restore Israel. That's the whole notion of the exile that we'll get into, and the return from exile is God. Mm-hmm. You come back from Babylon so that God can restore the nation of Israel. Because from a Jewish perspective, particularly ancient Jewish perspective, there's not a heaven and a hell. There's just the land of the dead, right?
Okay.
You die and you're dead, and that's just where everybody goes. That's just what it is. And so salvation and restoration comes in God's kingdom being known on earth through this nation of Israel that shines out to the world around it. So we get caught up, I think, in this kind of what seems like a punishment, but it's really just, look, you can't do this, right?
Sure.
In the same way we talked about with Genesis, right? It seems like God is punishing Adam and Eve by kicking them out of the garden after they make this choice, but God says, this is a consequence. You can't do this. I still love you. I'm still going to care for you. I'm going to provide for you, but you can't be in this relationship and be doing this. It can't work both ways. You have to choose one.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. And I also think we are coming at this, again, culturally so yep. differently, because we come at it from a very individualistic mm-hmm. society, and so we have a very individualistic perception of our relationship with God. And we have, sometimes I think the American church forgets that God's relationship is with the church
yep.
as well as with me as a person. And mm-hmm. we kind of pit those two things sometimes against one another.
In the same way, I think the Catholic Church, if I can speak too broadly, often emphasizes the church over the individual. Like, I think we both have sides that miss the beauty of the other.
Sure. So that happens to Moses.
It does.
And so Moses is told this is just what's going to happen, but he mm-hmm. still serves faithfully as a leader from mm-hmm. here on out. I mean, again, Moses is going to be... In Deuteronomy, we're going to see Moses again kind of lose
yep.
it a little bit.
Yeah.
also in this part, some snakes come into the camp. They bite some people, and people start dying. And they're like, ugh. Well, God sends the snakes too, because these people are complaining and grumbling. Sure. And
they're real annoying.
I think this is actually when the Levites revolt, the snakes come in. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So the shotgun fails at their job.
Shotgun throws a fit, as shotguns
shotgun
do.
Put on some terrible music.
And snakes.
Moses was like, hey, can you keep your eyes peeled for the next gas station? And Levites were not doing that.
Yeah, whatever, Dad, on my phone texting. Yeah,
they're playing on the Switch. And yeah. You know, we ran out of gas.
That's your thing. I'm definitely looking for that. Uh-huh, yep.
Yeah, and so snakes come in. They bite people. They start dying. So Moses puts a snake on a pole. God tells him, put a snake on a pole.
Bronze snake.
Bronze snake.
I don't know if that matters, but it's bronze.
When you get bit by a snake, you look at the pole, and you're healed.
Because bronze is made of copper, and copper has that antiviral stuff that
we're
talking
about. Oh, we're back at it.
Get out of here.
Call back. Yeah. Anyway, no, that's not why it's bronze. That's not the thing.
And amazingly, this story, Jesus is going to pick up on in the Gospels and say, the same way the snake is lifted up, I will be lifted up. And just like the Israelites looked at that and are healed, you'll look at me and are saved.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of this really neat section of Numbers that's kind of a throwaway section. Again, part of the road trip, part of the episode of like, here's today's adventure in Israel, snakes, you know, like, and Jesus picks on that story. Is like,
sounds a lot like 2020.
Numbers is a lot like 2020. Every month there's a
and
new story,
snakes.
And it's also
great.
Okay, so this is our road trip, and now we get each.
Can I say one more thing about the snakes?
Yeah.
So one thing that I think is interesting here, God sends the snakes, and God uses this bronze snake to bring about healing. It's this reminder that God is outside of the actions that are sent upon us, if that makes sense. Like, God can use a snake to both punish and bring healing, to both reveal consequence and to bring life, right? That the thing itself, the snake itself, is a neutral thing, and that it is God that brings mercy and or justice through those vehicles.
I think even the image of a snake on a pole is used by modern medicine. Like, that's kind of like that imagery has still connotations for today outside of church. So I think that's really cool.
So we think that image is supposed to be connected at all to like the creation story and the snake in the garden as well?
This image from Numbers or the image that doctors use?
The image in Numbers.
That's a great point. I think you could definitely draw a connection between this interesting play of the serpent being the one that is now bringing about healing and God turning that kind of story on its head, I think, a little bit. I haven't seen any particular reference to that, but I think you could definitely make an argument for that.
Yeah, I think certainly that idea, especially when Jesus picks up on it, that even this death that severed the relationship between God and man, that can be redeemed into something that heals the relationship between God and man. So I do think there's some intentionality there, but I don't know if the Bible says explicitly the intentionality.
Right. Sure. Right. I mean, because it's the same idea, right? I mean, God is going to use our own death to raise us up in a new life. That's the only way to truly experience new life is to go through death. And so that same process is going to happen for each of us.
All right. So we're coming to the end of our road trip into Moab. So Moab is kind of its own place.
Yeah.
It has a king.
Sure.
And these other places, Sinai and Paran, Israel is just kind of like, really by themselves most of the
wilderness.
Time.
Yeah,
you don't
no really
interact
around
with a lot of other tribes. I think one time there is a battle and Moses has to keep his hands up or else everybody dies.
Oh, yeah.
And then Aaron has to hold his hands up for him because he gets tired.
Yeah.
And so we're in Moab, though. So now we're in a different country, kind of its own established area with the king. And the king is watching this tribe of people march through his land.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not down with this.
Right.
Hard pass. Weird. Fair, right?
Yeah, right.
Which
yeah.
is reasonable. Yeah. Which is reasonable.
Yeah.
And so he summons a prophet to go and curse these people.
Balaam. Yeah.
Yes, Balaam is going to go and curse them. So Balaam goes up there and he's like, clears his throat, and he stands on the mountain, he looks at the people, and he's going to say this curse, and he tries to say it, and instead, a blessing comes out.
Whoopsie.
What?
I find this really funny.
It isn't? It's great. I love this one.
He tries to curse, he tries to say this, and instead, he blesses them. He's like, wait a second.
That's not what I meant to do.
That was weird. So he's like, okay, let's try this again. Goes to a new place. Gets on his donkey, goes, new place, let's try again. Says a new curse, boom, blessing again.
Uh-huh.
Gets on his donkey, then he starts beating and whipping his donkey. His donkey won't move because there's an angel in the road.
Right, that's another great story.
The donkey talks to him and says, like, dude, stop, there's an angel here.
Yeah.
Stop. What is happening?
Stop hitting me, there's an angel in front of you.
It's like Shrek and Donkey at this point. You know?
Right, yeah.
Just like Balaam. Balaam has layers.
Right.
Like an ogre.
Sure.
And then finally he gives a last curse and instead a new blessing. And this says, through Israel, through this people that are stubborn, through this people that have abandoned God, who rebelled, who wanted to go back to slavery, who now can't go in the promised land, these people, through these people, a future king will rise to bless all people. And so this is kind of, there's a little bit more after this in Numbers, but I think this is kind of the fitting conclusion.
Yeah, yeah, this is the climax of the story, if we will. Yeah,
this is kind of where we're leading, of like, even these stubborn people, that God is remaining so faithful to them that all the world will be blessed through a future king of theirs.
Yep.
So this is kind of, I think, a really kind of beautiful imagery that kind of you mentioned, like God's faithfulness to Israel is a major theme of
yep.
Numbers.
Even in spite of their unfaithfulness
really,
to God. Yeah.
And really of the entire Old Testament.
Yeah.
And Numbers
yeah.
is kind of where we really start that imagery of Israel just cannot get it together.
Yep.
Like no matter how hard they try, they just can't, and they're not trying very hard.
Yeah.
Get it together.
They can't even just like fall asleep in the back of the car for a couple of hours. Yeah. Like no, they've got to be awake and they've got to be complaining.
Yeah. And God stays.
Israel has
faithful.
No chill.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So Moses and it's so okay. Even when Israel is complaining, MapQuest is still telling them where to go.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And watching out for, like, they've got MapQuest telling them where to go and the safe driving car, like, braking for them
yes.
from other cars. And, you know.
It, maybe it's more like a Waze. Like, it's telling you, like, hey, there's a police officer up ahead.
Yeah.
Hey, divert here because there's traffic there.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Like, so
yeah.
It's like those things. So that's Numbers.
Yeah.
Any other is. Thoughts on Numbers? We kind of did this one a little differently. We really kind of walked through step by step.
Yeah, I think Numbers fits that model
a
little bit.
It is a road trip.
We won't probably do that with Deuteronomy, but Deuteronomy's got some great stuff as well, and I love what Deuteronomy sets up for the rest of it. Because Patrick and I were talking earlier today about trying to do these two in one, and we said, no, there's just too much good stuff in Deuteronomy, so,
yeah.
So we'll be back next month. One more month of Torah.
So what do you think? Do you recommend, should people read Numbers? I mean, like, everybody should read everything in the Bible.
You should read the Bible, yes.
But is Numbers high on the list, low on the list, or do you think?
Sure, I would put Numbers before Leviticus.
Sure.
I
think if you're like reading, if you're reading to get a narrative sense of what sets up the entire story of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, read those three. That sets up the narrative of the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you get into Deuteronomy, which takes you into Joshua and Judges, and there's other, you know, great stuff that we'll get into. But I think those three really set up the context for where everything else is going. I do not put Numbers above Genesis or Exodus.
Yeah.
As far as like where you should start, I think you start with Genesis and Exodus, not just because they're at the beginning, but I think that they are more inclusive. And I think there are imagery that gets picked up in Numbers, like we're talking about with the snake and other things mm-hmm. that you have to have that backstory for.
Yeah, I think Numbers is fun. I think there's some fun stories in here. I do think if you're like reading it and you're like, you want to skim the first 10 chapters, that's probably okay for the organizational part. Again, you should read all the Bible.
Right.
Everyone should read all the Bible. But if you're like, I've read it, I want to go back and reread it.
Yeah.
If you're like, let's just, you know, that,
sure.
the narrative is just not really there. It's just a lot of organizational
yeah.
stuff.
And frankly, like if you're brand new to the Bible and you've never read a single page, start in the Gospel of Mark.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, Gospel of Mark, number one, right? Get that, get the story, and maybe do the other Gospels. John is my personal favorite right next to Mark. Those two are up there for me. But, you know, start with the Gospels and then come back into this. But if you've got some experience in this, you've towed the water before, you've read most of, you know, the epistles, or you've been listening to stories in church on Sundays for a while, yeah, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. Good stuff. Yeah,
I agree. I think Numbers, I had more fun with it than I thought I would. So.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how I felt about my last road trip.
Yeah, it's kind of at the end of the road trip. You're like,
It was,
even though I was frustrated a lot.
Right. There were lots of points where things went horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah.
But it was a good experience,
honestly,
and I learned a lot.
In Corona, anything's a vacation. Like,
yeah,
I
right
take
now,
a road
I'm
trip.
Like, oh, road trip.
Yeah.
I want to go to that
I
run
would
and
go
store.
Drive around Louisiana in circles. Like,
that's right.
Do not care.
On a bumpy road.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Smelling weird things.
Over alligator infested waters. Who cares?
Alligator infested waters with my Funyuns. I'm ready to go.
I did, when I was researching this, I did see a little. Numbers pickup line here.
Oh, good lord!
I'll give you here if you're single. You
sure.
Can this,
yep.
When we're out of Corona times and you're able to go use this in
sure.
public.
You're wooing a Christian or Jewish, I guess.
Boy, yeah, works.
You can say, "Hey, I was reading Numbers, but I didn't see yours in it."
Oh, that's terrible.
Good,
no,
actually.
That's not. Don't don't encourage that.
It would work.
What if?
Yeah, it would.
Elise is
just nerdy enough.
Yeah, I think so.
Very specifically it's, nerdy. Yeah. Biblical nerdy.
Sure.
Yeah. There you go. That's numbers. Where can you find us?
Yeah, I'm like all thrown off my game from that pickup line. I don't know. I'm all blushing. I don't know what to do.
Can you do one for Deuteronomy next time?
I'll think of one.
Name is a thing.
Yeah, we're going to have a pickup line for every book. Hey, if you want to hear more great pickup lines based on books of the Bible, we hope you will continue to listen to Beyond Sunday here on our podcast. You can find us wherever wonderful podcasts are available. It would really help us if you have been enjoying this podcast and want to leave us a rating and a review at any of those places, just like Kristen did. We would love to see those up on iTunes or the Google Play or the Spotify, any of that stuff. Helps us get the word about Beyond Sunday out there into the world. And of course, you can always send your stuff straight to us at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. I forgot our email there for a second. Had a little mind blip. I was focused on my road trip.
I'm sure if you asked me what our email is, I also would
have definitely don't know it. So.
Yeah, but that's like my job. Like that's the
that's
only
true, that's your part. That's your part.
That's my one job. Show up, say this at the end. Okay, I can do that.
The times you've been gone, I've had to do it. I'm like, what is
yeah. I laugh at that every time I listen to those episodes.
There's the thing. You know.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week.
Safe road tripping.